Good morning. Oh, maybe you guys aren't quite awake. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm so happy to be here with all of you this morning. Like Cassidy said, my name is Bailey, and I'm the youth pastor here at Circle. So normally my weeks, I'm hanging out with junior high and senior high on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, but I'm so glad to be here continuing this series with you this morning. We are in part three today of Building Families God's Way, the Ten Commandments as your foundation. And today we're going to be looking at the third commandment that I can summarize in one sentence. God says, take my name seriously. Names carry a lot more significance than we realize. I remember when I was getting married, I was processing the fact that I would be losing my maiden name. My maiden name is Resavi, and I would be gaining this new last name, Potter. Now, at first, I was hesitant because I'd grown up my whole life with my last name, Resavi. I love my Resavi last name, and it's been with me for so many years, and I still carry that name today. But I was also excited to add a new name to my story, Potter. Now, Ben and I, my husband, we share initials, BMP, a last name, and it's easier for people to spell. Or, you know, if I'm talking on the phone, I just say, yeah, my last name's Potter, you know, like Harry Potter, and then they go, oh, yeah, easy to spell. So, what is in a name? Names carry plenty of significance. They're a representative or a stand-in for you. When someone says your name, they immediately bring to mind all of the things about you. Ideas about who you are, characteristics, qualities, your appearance, and your character. So it's no wonder then that in the third commandment, God says that honoring his name is so important. In the third command in Exodus 20, verse 7, he says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Or in some translations, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain." And we're going to explore together over the next 30 minutes what this means and why God puts so much value on his name. Now, the first thing to pay attention to is the fact that names represent three things: reputation, character, and authority. Reputation, character, and authority. So first, your name represents your reputation. You've heard people say he's making a name for himself, or when someone has a good reputation, they say, oh, he's got a good name. The same thing goes for if you have a bad reputation. He's got a bad name. When I say a name, you automatically think of their reputation. Hitler, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Oprah, Harry Potter. A name represents your character as well. What you are cannot be separated from what your name is once they're identified together. And in the Bible, people would often name their children after certain character qualities, like honest, justice, etc., so that it would represent their character as they grew older. And many times in the Bible, when somebody changed their character, their life was changed, and God gave them a new name. Abram became Abraham, Jacob became Israel, and Simon became Peter. God would change their names because he said it represents your character. Now, thirdly, your name also represents authority. Since it carries a reputation with it, a name represents the person that it belongs to. Ever wondered why we pray in the name of Jesus? It's because there's authority and power behind that name. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're aligning your prayer with his will and his authority and his character. So God tells us that honoring his name is so important. We need to take the wisdom of this commandment really seriously. Because when we misuse God's name, it's a big deal because we're defaming his reputation, his character, and his authority. It's like we were talking about last week, where we were talking about idols. When we misuse God's name, we reduce him into something that we've created and manipulated ourselves. Now, when we think about misusing God's name or taking it in vain, we usually think about swearing or cussing or using bad language. And the Bible definitely has something to say about this. So they're not in your notes, but you can write these in the margins if you want to go and look them up later. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Here's another one, 1 Peter 3:10. "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." We definitely need to be watching our words because they carry a lot of power on their own. But this command is about so much more than just our speech. So let's look back at Exodus 20, verse 7. The Hebrew verb in this verse is nasa, which means to carry, to lift up, or to bear. Now, like I said, this commandment goes a lot deeper than speech because it's about carrying God's name with you, carrying God's reputation, and representing him with you wherever you go. So the main lens that I want us to look through this command is, am I wearing or carrying God's name well? Am I representing God's name well? Taking God's name in vain means using God's name in a way that doesn't represent him, line up with who he is, or sometimes breaking his commands while appealing to his name. So keep that image in your mind. Carrying God's name or wearing God's name. Carrying that name with you. Think about that as we look at several ways that we misuse the name of our all-powerful Creator God. So here is some ways. The first one, using God's name to insult. This is the first one we typically think of. Using profanity, swearing, unwholesome language, or sometimes using the name of God as a swear word in and of itself, or an expression of hatred. You know, I was having an interesting conversation, kind of a debate, with a friend of mine the other day about whether the word, I'll spell it out, D-A-M-N, was considered a swear word. Whether we should just use it in everyday speech, or even whether I could say it from the platform at church. Obviously, I chose not to. They, on the other hand, didn't think it was so big of a deal. But don't worry, I'm not going to start listing all the swear words that we shouldn't say from the stage. But I want you to think about it. Whenever you say, "God dang something," think about what those combination of words actually mean. You're asking God to smite someone or something. Do you really think that God wants us to view him as the same as some cosmic God who's gonna rain down lightning on our God dang flat tire? No, he doesn't want us to think of him that way. Our speech has the power to build up or to tear down. Swearing and cussing, more often than not, tears things down. Could you maybe find a way to justify to me how you could use a swear word in a positive way? Sure, but that's not the point. The point is that our words matter, and the way that we use God's name, particularly when it comes to our words, really matters. Now, why do people even swear in the first place? One of the main reasons that they do it is to impress other people. As a kid or as a teenager, you know, the first time you swore, you thought you're pretty cool, using big words and making jokes, and your parents don't know because you're using language at school. But the fact is, using that kind of language, it doesn't actually build up your reputation or impress other people. And the longer that you do it, the more that it becomes a habit. Here's a moment of honesty. When I was a teenager, I swore quite frequently with my friend group, not so much in my family, but definitely with my friends. And in the spirit of honesty and humility, there's some times that I still struggle with watching my tongue, especially when it's around those same friends from high school, that when I get in the same space with them and I'm used to joking around in that way. And I'm very thankful that Ben every once in a while will catch me and say, "Hey, watch your mouth." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. I needed that conviction. Thanks for the reminder." It takes maturity and discipline to manage your speech, especially when you're angry. You stub your toe, hit your thumb, guy cuts you off in traffic and you just want to give it to them. It takes a lot of discipline not to swear or use unhelpful language, but it shows maturity and self-control to avoid letting your speech getting away from you. People use God's name to insult and express irritation. Now, parents in the room, this is for you. You especially have so much power in your words. Your words to your children have the ability to impact their life. They are always watching the ways that you use your words, what you say to them, what you say to others, what you say in the car when someone cuts you off. They're always watching, and it deeply matters. Always think through the ways that your words will impact the little ones around you. Now, the second one, in your notes, using God's name to indulge. We excuse ourselves sometimes, and we blame God for it. For example, God didn't want me to clean the living room today. I just wasn't feeling the Spirit tell me to do that. Or I didn't feel led to get out of bed this morning. Or God didn't want me to come to church today, so he sent a snowstorm this weekend. Now, those are just small things. But what about God doesn't want me to honor that contract? Or I know I made a promise, but God doesn't want me to fulfill that business deal. God wants me to do something different. I've prayed about it. Sometimes we use God as a cover for ourselves to indulge or to justify our own actions. Leviticus 19 says, "Don't make a promise in my name if you do not intend to keep it. That brings disgrace on my name." Now, in ancient times, people would make oaths that often involved invoking God's name or substitutes for it to guarantee the truth of one's statements. And, you know, I'm a youth pastor. I was thinking about this the other day. We still do this today. The youth are using this phrase, "on God." Have you ever heard that? They'll say, "Man, pizza is the best on God, for real, for real." And it just means this is really true on God. But it's like saying, "I swear to God that pizza is the best." So we still make oaths like this today. But Jesus teaches us that oaths, especially ones done in God's name, shouldn't even be used at all. Your character should be of such integrity that your words can be believed without an oath. Matthew 5:37, Jesus says, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil." I was thinking about this idea of integrity, and right now I'm watching Survivor season 50. Any other Survivor fans out there? Okay, a few of you maybe, or maybe you're still sleeping. Anyway, in Survivor, there's this player, Coach. He says that he's all about honor and integrity, and this is like his whole main thing. But then as you're watching this clip and this show unfold, you're kind of thinking, I'm not sure your actions are really lining up with what you say is so important to you. And so I was thinking about it, how much it matters that what we do matches our words. We should say we're going to do, we should do what we say we're going to do. And Jesus asks us to do that as well. Now, the third thing is using God's name to intimidate. Using God's name to intimidate. Some people are really pros at this. They say, God told me what you should do, or God told me what's wrong with you. God told me that you're supposed to lend me money. When you speak on behalf of God and you use it to disrespect or intimidate people, that is misusing his name. You know, parents do this sometimes. When you're frustrated and you've tried restriction, you've tried taking away their allowance and timeouts, etc., finally you just pull out the big stick and you say, if you keep doing that, God is gonna get you. Like he's the boogeyman or something. That is intimidation. Spouses can do this in a marriage. You know, I've really prayed about this, and I know that God wants us to spend all our money and buy this Jaguar. How are you going to argue with God? I guess you got to get the car. That's intimidation. In the world, they call this forgery. Forgery is when you use somebody else's name to get what you want. And there's a lot of spiritual forgers in the world who misuse God's name by saying, God told me, or God said so. And as a response, we're just supposed to say, well, it must be true then. But it really may not be. We need to be so, so careful about speaking for God and claiming that he said something that he never really did. The best way to watch for this, if it's coming from someone else, is to think it through this way. Does what this person is saying that's coming from God, does it line up with how he's revealed himself in Scripture? Does it align with his character and who he is? Is there anyone else in my life that's discerning similar things about what God might be teaching and speaking into my life? Have I talked with God myself about this particular thing? People definitely can share messages and encouragement on behalf of God. I've experienced this in my own life many times. But you must be discerning about people that use God's name to intimidate and manipulate other people. Okay, the next one. We misuse God's name by trying to impress. Trying to impress. Insecure believers do this one a lot. They often try to prove how spiritual they are by jargon or using continuous religious phrases, spiritual cliches. It's like the more that I use the name Jesus in my sentence, the more spiritual I must be. Don't turn God into a cliche. Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. It's like we said before, we carry God's name with us. We take God's name in vain when we claim to be committed to him, but we don't back it up with our lifestyle. Somebody says, oh, I love the Lord. He is number one in my life. And then when you dig deeper and ask some questions, well, are you involved in any kind of ministry or serving? No. Are you meeting with God every day, reading your Bible, daily quiet time, you know, prayer? No. Are you sharing what God blesses you with in your finances, being generous with others? No. So then what does God mean to you? It's just empty words. The next one, using God's name impulsively. Using God's name impulsively. This is one that can catch us off guard, or we don't even realize we're doing it. Are there ways that we're misusing God's name without even thinking, without a full recognition of his reverence and his goodness or his holiness? Don't use spiritual truth and just flippantly use it without a thought, or boil God down to just an exclamation point or a filler word. Impulsive means without thinking. You can worship impulsively. You can take the Lord's name in vain while you worship, and you can misuse God's name in church. Have you ever been in church and you're singing a song about Jesus and you're not even really thinking about the words. Your mind is a million miles away. Your heart's not there. You're just going through the motions, kind of half-hearted, routine. That's something to pay attention to. Jesus said, quoting from Isaiah the prophet, "These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus is talking about the Pharisees, the ways that they followed God's law so precisely in order to shame others and make themselves look more righteous in comparison. Their hearts were actually far from God. Jesus also says, when you pray, don't use a lot of meaningless words. God knows what's in your heart, and he knows what you want to ask him. So when Jesus is talking about this, he was actually referring to a cultural practice at the time where pagans would repeat the names of their gods or the same words over and over without thinking. That's how they would pray to their gods. Jesus is prohibiting mindless, mechanical repetition. Not earnest repetition that actually just comes from the flow of your heart. That's okay. But the mindless repetition where you're just saying it as filler. When it comes to prayer, maybe some of you have habitual prayers, which I think are great. They remind us to give our attention to God. Like when you're sitting down to eat, maybe you pray the same thing every time. Or the Our Father can be a habitual prayer. But if you just zoom through the prayer to get the words out, like here's, let me paint a picture for you. You're in a hurry for dinner, you're getting the kids all around the table, you're ready to go, and you just wanna get moving so that you can go to sports or whatever you have going on. And then your little one says, "Oh, we need to pray first." And you're like, "Oh yeah, right, okay." So then you pull up the classic prayer. For me growing up, it was this one. I'm gonna say it fast. "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts which you're about to receive in front of blah, 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 blah. Amen." And then you can all eat dinner. We've all probably done that once or twice in our lifetime. But that is actually misusing God's name. He cares about our hearts being focused on him, not exactly every single word that we're saying. When we rush our prayers or we just add a bunch of filler words to sound more spiritual and holy, we're misusing his name. Again, this one can become a habit sometimes, and it's often coming from a good place to start. But there does come a point where maybe our prayers become more performative and empty than we want them to be. Now, all of these ways that we misuse God's name, we carry his name in a way that dishonors him and his character, his authority, and his reputation. It's really serious to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't include it as number 3 on his list of the 10 commandments. When you misuse God's name in any of these ways, you're offending the creator of the universe. May I respectfully suggest that you offend somebody else besides the creator of the universe? Probably a good idea. There is power and authority in God's name. And since Jesus is God, there's power in his name too. Jesus and everything that he teaches is completely aligned with God's will, his character, his reputation, and his authority. What are the ways that we devalue God's name, either on purpose or without thinking? What things in your life and in my life do we need to ask God's forgiveness for when it comes to misusing his name? As helpful as it can be to talk through clearly what not to do, I would argue it's equally, if not more valuable, to talk about the ways that we should carry God's name well. So focusing on this could take a whole series of its own. I'm not gonna do that to you this morning. It really does take a lifetime to grow into someone who carries the Lord's name properly and truly loves like Jesus. So I encourage you to meditate on this for a while and throughout the rest of this series. And do some more learning on this. How can I carry God's name well? But here's a start. God promises blessing when you carry his name correctly. There's literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about all the different names of God. There are promises galore that say things similar to Psalm 61:5. You have given me the blessings you reserve for those who reverence my name. If you honor God's name and you carry it well, he will bless you with more responsibility, more opportunities to serve him, more opportunities to express generosity and fulfillment in following him. So the first thing that we should do is give reverence to God's name continually. Give reverence to God's name. Treat his name with the utmost respect. Use it carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it as an act of worship. Don't just let it slip out flippantly. When you say God, mean it in your heart. Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Honor God's name. If there's something that is a blessing in your life that you know is from him, give him the glory. Be the biggest champion or cheerleader for the God who made you, loves you, and created you with a plan and a purpose. In the same way that you would defend someone you know if someone else insulted their name or somebody was talking badly about somebody that you love, stand in the gap for God. Often, love demands action. Sometimes believers just stand by and do nothing when the people around them claim that God is something that he's not. So I want to challenge you, speak up when somebody is misrepresenting God or claiming something about him that you know to be untrue. Now, you have to have wisdom about how to approach this, of course, especially when it comes to strangers. But for the people that are close to you, maybe you could point out to them how their view of God is false, how misusing his name is not something to be taken lightly. You have to do this tactfully because your goal should be not to condemn them, but to influence them. So what does all this have to do with building strong families? Well, like I said before, one of the number one places that we need to work on our mouths is in our home. We probably say more unkind things at home than anywhere else. Verbal abuse is rampant in families today, causing irreparable damage to relationships. So exercise self-control with your language and the way that you carry God's name in your home. Now, like I said before, you could look at this in the negative sense and only focus on what not to say, but you miss out on the joys of incorporating conversation about God in your home that does bring glory to his name. Talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with your kids. I call this looking for God moments. I teach this to our youth students. Where are the moments in your day, in your week, where you notice God speaking? What are his blessings for you each day? How can you thank God for the things that come up in your day? Thank you, God, for the sunshine today. Or thank you, God, that my in-laws came and shoveled our driveway at our house. Thank you, Lord, for the birds singing this morning. Thank you, God, for our church community. You need to reverence God's name continually. And reverence involves not only protecting God's name, but knowing it. Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name will trust you. Knowing God is so important. And he has so many names that he's revealed to us in the Bible, well over 100 names. And each of them reveal a different thing about God's character, his love, his justice, his holiness, the things that he's promised. A great way that you can get to know God is to get to know the names of God. And the better you know the names of God and how he's revealed himself to us, then the better you're going to trust him and the better you're going to love him. When you get to know God's name and you reverence him daily, there are enormous benefits to your life. You, God, have given me the blessings you reserve for those who reverence your name. Okay, the next one. Are you still with me? Okay, the next one. Represent God's name clearly. I think this one's so important. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are his. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. If misusing the Lord's name means you aren't carrying it properly, your actions and your lifestyle definitely impact this too. If your actions don't line up with God's commands, you're dragging his name through the mud. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, which really means little Christ, then your life should reflect Christ. Your walk needs to match your talk. Every person is made in the image of God, but especially as a believer, we're called to mirror and reflect God's character to the people around us. There are two reasons why many people never come to Christ. The first is that they've never met a Christian or heard the good news. And the second is that they met one, and it was a Christian in name only, who claimed to be a Christian, but there was no difference in their lifestyle and their actions. People think, if they're a Christian, they're just like me. I'm a good person, they're a good person. There's nothing different between us. I don't need Jesus because I'm just like them. God is going to hold us accountable for how we represent him to the world. So represent his name clearly and to the best of your ability. The truth is that there are people all around you who are watching you and evaluating your speech and your actions. They're checking in to see what makes you different in your words, your attitude, your actions. Even more so if you're teaching children in your home. They're watching you and emulating everything you do. So guard your mouth and guard your actions. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the third one, rely on God's name completely. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. It brings glory to God when we trust in his name. And Jesus says that when we pray, we should ask for things in his name, and he will do it. Not that Jesus is a magic genie and he's going to do whatever we want, but that he wants to give good gifts to his children when they ask. And what better gift than our forgiveness and reconciliation with God? We pray in Jesus' name not because it's magic words, but because Jesus has made a way for us to come to God the Father. Since God is perfect and holy and we are not, we needed someone who is holy and perfect to be that for us. Jesus is that bridge. It's a reminder that when we come to God, we don't do it on our own power, manipulating him to do what we want. We come to God in Jesus' power, authority, grace, and mercy. And the good news of the gospel is that we have salvation by trusting the name of Jesus. When we trust him, he clothes us with his righteousness, and he gives us forgiveness for every misspoken word, every way we fail to represent God's name. Because salvation is found in no one else, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ is the way that we're made new. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. Circle that word, life. You have life in the name of Jesus. We have freedom from sin and death and forgiveness in his name. That's what we all need. We've all broken this commandment, and it means that we're all defeated by sin and death and evil unless we trust our Savior, Jesus. Now, when it comes to watching our words and our actions, like I said, the problem's not usually in the mouth itself. The wisdom beneath this commandment is that God shows us he cares deeply about our heart. Because what's in our heart is going to overflow through our words and actions. Whatever is already inside of you is what's going to come out when the world puts pressure on you. If I'm filled with anxiety and tension and turmoil and fear and anger, bitterness, when the world puts pressure on, that's what's going to come out. It's like squeezing a toothpaste tube. The toothpaste inside is what's going to come out. When I'm filled with love, peace, joy, forgiveness, holiness, trust in God, and the world puts pressure on us, that's what's going to come out. Jesus says the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Ultimately, the only way to carry God's name well is to be intentional, ask God for wisdom, and focus on your heart. Following Jesus and listening to the Holy Spirit really helps us with that. God says, don't misuse my name and misrepresent me. Use it with awe and reverence and joy. Be serious. Some of you might be here today thinking, there are ways that I'm devaluing God and I didn't even realize it. So what do we do with that? The first thing is to seek forgiveness. Acknowledge before God there are many ways that we've misused and misrepresented his name. And then you commit that problem and your life to God and give him the whole thing. Say, Jesus, come in and give me a new heart and a new tongue. Start practicing controlling what you allow into your mind. There's just some things that you don't really need to listen to watch, or to read, because you know that it's going to stick in your mind and in your heart. Remember that God is with you always, and the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, conviction, and direction. When we're attentive to him and we know him, he will show us the way. And like I said, we've got to continue learning. So keep learning God's commands. Look at how Jesus teaches us to love others in the Sermon on the Mount. Or a little bit of homework for you if you want. Go home and read the whole chapter of Romans 12 for some insight on how we should live as Christians. Meditate and learn on the names of God, what he commands us, and continue with us in this series on the Ten Commandments. Next week, we are going to be looking at the next commandment together, God's word to workaholics. That's going to be maybe a convicting one. And one last encouragement, one last thing that I encourage you to check out. God often does this thing in my life where he'll align several things that I'm learning about at the same time, and I always think that's such a cool God moment. And what's happening right now is the Bible Project, if any of you have used that as a study tool, they are actively right now, as we've been doing ours, I don't think this was planned, by the way, just a God thing, they're doing a series on the Ten Commandments. So the first two commandment videos have already come out, and this Tuesday, the one that I just spoke about is coming out. So on Tuesday, I would love to encourage all of you to go and watch that, process it, have some thoughts, and continue your learning about this third commandment. When you know someone and you love someone, you really don't want to hurt them or misrepresent them. So don't misrepresent God. He loves you, he wants the best for you, and he wants you to take him seriously so that he can continue helping you to grow into the person he created you to be. Ask him to help you, and he will. My prayer is that our church will be known for carrying God's name and his reputation well, that when people encounter us, we will accurately reflect the light and love of Christ, giving him all the glory. Let's pray together as we close. God, we thank you for this church community, and we thank you that we get to learn and grow together. We just pray that as we spend some time learning about the ways that we misrepresent your name, but also how we should represent and carry your name, I pray that for each of us, you would point out the ways in our life that maybe we need to make some adjustments. Maybe we need to ask for some help and self-control. God, I pray that as we leave this building, you would continue to inspire us to carry your name well, everywhere we go, in our homes, in our workplaces, and out in the world. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be with us, that you would point out the ways that we can represent you well, and point out the ways that we need to change something. We just thank you, Lord, that your name is the name above all names, that we can put our trust in you. We thank you so much for your love for us. We just pray that you would go with us into our weeks ahead. And we pray this all in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.